Welcome back to Spark My Muse, everybody. This is your host, Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to Soul School, Lesson 88. Well, my little sugar plums, it is Advent season, and if you listen to this after Advent season, this will also be not just a seasonal topic, but an evergreen topic. I'm really glad you're joining me today, and I love saying happy holidays, not just Merry Christmas. One of those reasons is because the season of Advent is the period before Christmas that leads up to Christmas, and each one of those days is a holiday. The season of Advent also involves exploring expectancy, waiting, being patient, the darkness. In the northern hemisphere of the world, there is a lot more darkness in the 24-hour period. The days are much shorter and the light is much less. But it also reflects the season of our heart as well in the human condition. There are seasons of darkness. There are seasons of obscurity and doubt and expectancy that has good points and teaches us things, but it also has the sadder points, the more disillusioned points. Sometimes we have hopeful, positive expectancy, and other times we wait and have a sense of loss or a sense of abandonment. And exploring all those feelings of the human condition, of the inner world, I think is so useful for us to have a deeper understanding of ourselves, of others, and of the world, and of the problems of the world that sometimes get experienced and get carried out in violence towards others, in unhappiness, in misery. Sometimes we don't understand the things of our inner world, and then we take them out on others. And I think as we explore ourselves more, as we learn about our own fears and doubts and darkness inside, the obscurity inside, we can have more space for ourselves in those things and more grace for ourselves and compassion. And it's that much easier to have that for others. So I'm going to be exploring that today a little bit and reading three poems that are very short and very rich. And I'm excited to explore those with you and read those to you, hoping that your soul will be soothed, that this will be a kind of break from whatever hectic activity or media news stories that might be inundating you and your world right now, that this will be a break from all that and a time of stillness and centeredness for you, and just a time of reflection and quiet in a different sort of way where you can pull back to center and look at things a little differently in a different way. One of the interesting things I have come to learn about this season of Advent is that in as far back in the Christian tradition as 1166, this season was often treated as a fasting period before a feasting period. And the interesting thing about modern society is we do a lot of regular eating, which is quite a bit like feasting, and then we have bigger feasts. But in other times, asceticism would teach people things of doing without and being mindful of what it is to want, and then feasting and noting those things in juxtaposition to teach us something about what it is to want and what it is to have, and not always satisfying ourselves and having some discipline to teach us to withhold and to teach us to be long-suffering and teach us to delay gratification, not have everything we want all the time, because sometimes we can learn from those lessons of discipline. And fasting is still done and at Lent. There's a 40-day thing that happens there, and sometimes people will withhold things from themselves, like sweets or certain activities or something like that, something that they enjoy, maybe coffee or chocolate or something like that, or maybe do a special kind of diet. Some people do that in order to be more mindful of certain things or have their mind trained on something and make that a more special, reflective, pensive season. And then Easter is like a big celebration, a big feast, and it's time to celebrate. And that can actually be incredibly rewarding as a spiritual practice, even if you don't celebrate those holidays or those times. Entering into periods of fasting and then celebrating are really enriching special times. A lot of times those type of rituals and special acts, especially done in community, can be very rich for your inner world. But Byzantine Christians still celebrate this fast of Nativity Fast, sometimes it's called, or Fast of St. Philip. And then it's rewarded or celebrated at the Nativity, the Feast of the Nativity, which of course is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And then different things are explored within those fasting times that you might not be as open to if you were fat and happy. So if you're fasting, you're going to be thinking more of things that you don't have or what it feels like to be hungry or empty in more powerful and potent ways. A lot of times I've seen recently the really overindulgence of things and consumerism that I think does violence to our souls and our well-being. And the whole point in the United States is the consumerism and the getting of things, the getting of stuff that happens at Christmas. There's this huge buzz around shopping, consuming and having and getting things and wish lists. And this does, I think, violence to our inner worlds. It doesn't have anything to do with fasting. It's the opposite. Is what kind of bargains can I pick up and who can I impress with gifts and what can I get for other people? And there's a lot of obligations and expectations. I believe that it crowds out a lot of inner growth and reflection that can happen. We're hurried and busy, and sometimes we don't take the time to even just gather in meaningful ways with each other or spend time in conversation or asking each other interesting questions to get to know each other better, because it's crowded out with the stuff of the season, the things we need to buy, or purchase, make in order to make things go well in the Christmas season. So I think that's an even more important reason that it might be interesting to play with a few fasting days in December. Maybe it's just one day a week, you don't have sweets or you don't have coffee like you might do at Lent. Just to bring a little more power and meaningfulness to the season for you, just a time to slow down, or maybe you even just find ways that are meaningful to you that would involve a special time of Advent and happy holidays before the time of Christmas. Now, Christmas and many of the holidays around the world coincide with the seasons of solstice, where the hours of sunlight are few, and then they start getting to more sunlight after the winter solstice. And that is usually the new year for a lot of people in the world. And in these ancient calendars, that would signify that the sun's returning and we're going to have a new year. And that's been true in pagan cultures, and this has been co-opted with Christianity and continues to be in our calendar today, as how we start the new year around the time of the solstice, around the time that we have more daylight in the year in the Northern Hemisphere. And so it's a good time of year in many ways to reflect on how things have been going in the previous year, how we would like things to begin anew and afresh in a new year and a new time of light, to let the light into our hearts in a new way. And as Christians celebrate Jesus, the coming of the humble king into the world, a king born into an animal trough is kind of this juxtaposition of richness made poor, mightiness made vulnerable. And what does that mean for our lives and how we might want to live differently in the world, how we might want to let ego go and be of service to other people, how we might want to make our time in the world best spent. Those are some of the themes of Advent I really appreciate and I try to sink deeply into in this time. And hopefully I can inspire you to think on those things a little bit more now too. I'll now turn this part over to some of the poems I wanted to share with you. I also wish you a very blessed Advent time or lead up to Christmas. If you see a calendar that is just a countdown to Christmas as chocolates or some other thing that doesn't draw you into a deeper, richer place where you can grow internally, it's not an Advent calendar. It's just a countdown to get more stuff calendar. Beware of the calendars to Advent that don't really help you. I think that sometimes those calendars have been co-opted with consumerism and they will turn your heart away from things that will help you. And it saddens me that that happens, that the Advent calendars aren't often now things that will draw us into a richer life, but actually will draw us into a more self-centered, shallow life. May you be blessed by a richer meaning of Advent leading up to the solstice and the time of more light in your life and more spark. I'll try to work that in there too. I'll do the poetry now. Let's see. I found three poems that really were just beautiful to me. The first one I'll share is by R.S. Thompson. It's called The Bright Field. I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future or hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning, aside like Moses to the miracle, of the lit bush to a brightness that seems as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. I love that one. If you get a chance, I hope that you rewind some of this podcast and listen to the poem again, because its richness is appreciated when you listen to it several times. Now, this one I'll share with you is by Rainer Maria Rilke, and this is a translation. This translation is by Joanna Macy and Anita Barrows. And this is a snippet, really, from the Sonnets to Orpheus 2:29. It's called Let the Darkness Be a Bell Tower. Now, I like this one, of course, because it talks about darkness in multiple ways. I'm thinking of this, too, because we think of the darkness of this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, the darkness of expectancy and hope and persisting in hope as we wait for things in general. And this goes back, of course, to the story of Mary in expectancy of the birth of Jesus. And also the darkness within ourselves of waiting for the future, waiting for something, or just not knowing ourselves. And there's lots of times of darkness, obscurity. Darkness is not always bad. In fact, often we assume darkness is bad, and it is just simply mystery. Let the darkness be a bell tower. Quiet friend, who has come so far? Feel how your breathing makes more space around you. Let this darkness be a bell tower, and you the bell. As you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Move back and forth into the change. What is it like, such intensity of pain? If the drink is bitter, turn yourself to wine. In this uncontainable night, be the mystery at the crossroads of your senses, the meaning discovered there. And if the world has ceased to hear you, say to the silent earth, I flow. To the rushing water, speak, I am. I love this poem in terms of its determination and strength, and speaking to the darkness in a way that doesn't shy away from our pain or run from it. It just is a strong, consistent, and resilient in speaking to the darkness. Now the last one is by Jorge Luis Borges, an Argentinian, fascinating person, the 20th century, fascinating poet and writer that I'm just now getting to know. This is a short poem that I really love, and I hope that this speaks to the tribe that is the Spark My Muse listeners. And I hope this is inspiration for you as you move forward through this season and till the end of the year. I hope that this podcast has been inspiring to you and been a comfort to you. I hope you can share it with other people. And if you'd like to give a Christmas gift to keep Spark My Muse going, I would deeply appreciate that. You can do that at patreon.com/sparkmymuse, where you can get all kinds of extra goodies too as you sponsor the show. There's so many bonus material features and Also, there are ways at sparkmymuse.com to give just a one-time gift if you feel like doing that too. There is a PayPal donate button, and you can pay through a PayPal account or through a credit card. And it would mean so much to me if you finished off the year sending a little gift my way at Spark My Muse. There's also a store that features different items. And if you'd rather give a gift that way by buying something at the store, a little bit goes back to fund the show. Thank you so much for listening to these poems, and here is the final one. Jorge Luis Borges the Just, a man who, as Voltaire wished, cultivates his garden, he who is grateful that music exists on earth, he who discovers an etymology with pleasure, a pair in a southern cafe enjoying a silent game of chess, the potter meditating on color and form, the typographer who set this, though perhaps not pleased, a man and a woman regarding the last triplets of a certain canto, he who is stroking a sleeping creature, he who justifies or seeks to a wrong done him, he who is grateful for Stevenson's existence, he who prefers the others to be right, these people, without knowing, are saving the world. Borges is talking about the just are people who are doing all these sort of ordinary, beautiful things. It's a beautiful picture of kind of the sacred and the ordinary. I love those types of pictures. We might not be doing big, enormous, glorious things or have some kind of fame or have some kind of massive influence or power and just be these ordinary people, but we can be counted among the just when we are doing good and well toward others and in the world. And I hope that that is inspiring to you. Maybe you can go back and listen again to these poems read, and they will create new meaning for you each time you listen. I know for me they do, and different things come out to me and seem powerful. So with that, I will leave you this Advent season, hoping that a new light sparks in your heart, and wishing you the very best. See you next week.